Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to the program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Okay, so for those who took advantage and are taking advantage of the free book offer that we had last hour, you're gonna have to give us a couple weeks, because
that's right.
We've got our guest Josh is going to go home to the Gulf Coast and then ship us the books.
That's so right.
That'll take 4 or 5 days at least. And then we've got to get those books into the mail ourselves.
And we've met our goal.
Okay.
We've met our goal of 100.
Our free offer is we've met that. Okay.
That's right. Now, if there's 2, 3, 4, 5 pending that crossed in the mail, so to speak,
right,
we'll fulfill that commitment, because yeah, I know there were a lot of people hustling to get there.
Yeah.
But as far as our commitment to 100, we've met that. So
yeah, that was quick.
Well, I was. But we've gone over. Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, there you go. But if you,
somebody's going to have to type those, get the email addresses, write them out. It's going to be a little bit, it's not as systematic of a process as it would be if you registered online. We're having to translate emails and stuff. So 100 is a good number.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Howdy, everybody.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm well.
Howdy.
Okay.
Howdy.
And now,
howdy.
Do you usually do that? Did I just catch that as something new?
Howdy?
Yeah, howdy.
I've said it before in my life. I don't know.
Well, he does it about once or twice a week.
Okay, howdy.
Yeah, all Steve right. was a star on the Howdy Doody show.
That's right. Back as a youth.
Back in,
back in the day.
Get him to sing Howdy Doody time.
Yep.
And all right, Steve,
yes.
What is your first story, my friend?
Our public schools continue to fail our students, specifically when it comes to protecting their safety on campus. We've seen several stories like this. I'm bringing you another one that's come to our attention now. I'm going to tell you the story of a 13-year-old girl at Pembroke Middle School. That's just north of Philadelphia in Pennsylvania. And she and a classmate were being terrorized at school by a boy who went by the name Melanie, with transgender kid, a boy that has trans whatever.
A
boy who said he was a girl. And the background is these girls were not necessarily genuflecting to the pronouns and all this kind of stuff. So anyway, this girl, we don't know names. It's a 13-year-old girl. They didn't give names. And it's a story about the threats and the beating. I'm going to tell you right now that I took a chunk out of the middle of this that I played for you guys this morning, because there were some very graphic descriptions of what you're going to hear.
Where did you see this story, by the way?
Daily Wire is,
okay,
is running this.
Ben Shapiro?
Yeah, his
site?
His group, yeah.
Okay.
So there's some graphic stuff that I took out of it. In the middle, we can talk about what it meant, what we're missing after this, but I want you to listen to Cut 12.
There was a girl she was targeting every day at
Hold
lunch.
On a second. Let me
And
pause
they
it.
Would go to the counselor and tell them every
This girl, I'm sorry, this girl is talking to the school board.
There you go.
At Pembroke Middle School.
That's what we're hearing?
Yes, we're hearing her addressing the school board. I apologize, Brent. Thank you.
There was a girl she was targeting every day at lunch. And they would go to the counselor and tell them every day that this is going to happen. And Wednesday, I went with two others, and each of us filled out a whole paper full of what's going to happen and why it's going to happen. And then I went to chorus, and I was told, watch your back. He is going to come for you and this other girl at lunch. And when I was at lunch, I was terrified, and I told Miss Fattori that was happening, and she said, don't worry about it, it's not going to happen. And early that morning, I was told I was not going to see Mel for the rest of that week. But I was in lunch, and all of a sudden, I just hear all this screaming and everybody running, and I see Mel running in after somebody, and everyone's screaming and running, but the girl who got attacked didn't see it because she was faced backwards. And we had to watch them take her out with blood dripping down her face, and I will never forget that. And laying in bed last night, I just kept repeating it in my head, and we shouldn't have had to sit there and just watch her repeatedly yelling that I'm going to murder you and just hitting her with a Stanley. Oh, and I don't get how, you couldn't have stopped it. It was 5 hours from when I told you it was going to happen, and when it happened, it was 5 whole hours. I don't get how you couldn't have stopped that. And how Ms. Fattori said, don't worry, it's not going to happen. We have her under control. But clearly you didn't.
Just for those who don't know, Stanley is like a
Stanley thermos, although it's a drinking cup.
A metal
drinking cup, a tumbler, like you guys give away a little bit on Friday sometimes.
So this was a girl, and what happened was this trans girl, which means a boy.
This boy
who wanted everyone to address him as a she.
Right.
And a couple of girls apparently didn't get with the program.
Right.
And this boy was threatening to come after them. The girls are terrified. They go to the school saying, he's saying he's going to do this. Everybody knows it. You got to do something. The school told the girls it's not going to happen. This is what the school was referring to this boy as, she is under control. And this boy came in during lunch and beat a girl with this Stanley.
And what we cleaned up a little bit was there was a graphic description of blood and how they had to sit and watch and deal with this bloody mess.
And they had to sit there for almost a half an hour as it was all cleaned up.
Cleaning up all the blood on the floor. We didn't want to get that picture of this poor little girl.
Is there any evidence here? It sounds like to me that this was this person who was a boy claiming to be a girl wasn't watched closer dealt with more seriously in terms of the threats because it was a transgender person?
Well, the school hasn't copped to a whole lot. I am going to be calling the school today as I do a story for AFR.
Because it sounded like that happened to me.
Yeah.
Well, one thing's for sure, and while we're waiting to get an answer from that or non-answer, depending on how the school responds, one thing's for sure is we've created a society that both in all areas, in politics, in entertainment, and education, in which we are very sympathetic unnaturally to people with mental disorders like this boy that thinks he's a girl, to the point where we've made all types of exceptions that we wouldn't make for anyone else as far as their inability to recognize reality.
And, you know, part of this issue, and again, from a Christian perspective, Christians should have compassion for people who are confused and whose lives are upside down. Okay, let's get that part out of the way. But, folks, we're talking about males who are by their very nature more aggressive.
Sure.
All right. Testosterone fueled rage is a real thing. I remember watching a debate on a television program. I don't remember what the program was. This is probably 3 or 4 years ago. Ben Shapiro is on it. He's sitting next to a man in a dress. You remember this,
Steve?
Yes,
I do.
And Ben is making his argument against this transgender ideology. This man in a dress says, if you don't stop it, I'm going to come over there and I'm paraphrasing, but he threatened to beat the living daylights out of Ben. And I was thinking, that's the most male thing I've ever heard. I don't care if you're wearing a dress. So when this boy comes running in, and we need to say allegedly beats this girl, though there's tons of witnesses, hopefully the law enforcement will take care of it. This is not one little girl beating up another. This is a boy.
Yeah. The female student who was attacked needed staples in her head and is on concussion protocol. According to the police, the school statement says that the school is working with law enforcement and the families of the students involved. Schools working with a district-wide traumatic event response team to support students who witnessed the attack.
My last comment on this is that when I was growing up, we were raised that men, that boys don't hit girls for any reason.
Right.
Right. That's right. But
if you're not clear if you're a boy or a girl, I don't know how that applies. Sure. I mean, in your own mind, in their own mind.
Next story.
All right. Hey, latest on the Donald Trump trials. I think this is
one in New York, Manhattan.
That's right. This is the Manhattan trial, and Tim, you brought this story in, so maybe I should just let you set it up. But there is we're learning a little bit about how Donald Trump ran his campaign in 2016.
All right. So. This was yesterday. Is this day one or day two?
We've got a clip for this, too, don't we?
It started on Monday, I think, didn't it? Opening statement started on Monday.
When you get into court cases like this, you know, where I call it a three-ring circus, mm-hmm. you're going to, for Mr. Trump, former President Trump, you're going to have the good, bad, and the ugly come out, right?
Right.
And what I thought was interesting yesterday, I say interesting, is what this fellow, his name is David Pecker, and he is the former publisher of the National Enquirer.
A striking journalistic enterprise
yes,
right there.
Yes. but he had a close friendship with then-candidate Donald Trump, right?
Right.
And they were pals, and that nobody's denying that, and because Trump liked the attention that National Enquirer gave him.
Right.
This is according to this gentleman yesterday, yep. Mr. Pecker. So he was called by the prosecution, but he wasn't necessarily antagonistic. He's still a friend, I mean, to the former president, Trump. But what was said yesterday was that I found, again, if you are triggered, let me just give you a warning right here, okay? If you're triggered by anything negative about former President Trump, you need to turn the radio off, right? Because this is not flattering,
right?
What we're about to hear. And I'm not talking about women or anything like that, but what evidently Mr. Trump and then candidate Trump and Cohen, his lawyer, did. Why don't you finish it out? So Tim's not the only one talking
okay.
about this.
Well, Michael Cohen was the attorney worked with former President Trump for a long time, even before he became President Trump. And by all descriptions, was the president's fixer.
Fixer.
But they had this kind of triangular relationship where the owner of the publisher of National Enquirer gets together with candidate Trump, Michael Cohen, and they come up with things to say about President Trump's primary opponents, like
National Enquirer type things.
Yes, like Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz,
right.
And so they would
and Marco Rubio and Ben Carson.
Yes, too. David Pecker would suggest made up stories, and President Trump would go along with that.
Candidate
Trump, and once the National Enquirer published it. Then Trump would, on the campaign trail, say, hey, why is nobody else covering this? This was what was said about, for example, Senator
Cruz's
dad.
And it's all
coming
out of his imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the most disturbing part on this one was to me, and listen, politics is rough and tumble, and politicians, Republicans or Democrats, lie a lot.
Right.
And they say false things about their opponents a lot. So this isn't.
This isn't just Donald Trump.
This isn't the first time, or it'll be the last time this kind of thing has happened. I'm just saying, but this was particularly sleazy, in my opinion, what he did to Ted Cruz, because Trump and Cohen and this National Enquirer, the National Enquirer guy said, I meshed together pictures to make Ted Cruz's dad look like he was a part of Lee Harvey Oswald.
Assassination of JFK.
Yes. So they put this story, many people remember, they put this story out there during the campaign because Trump and Cruz were head-to-head. They were close.
Yeah, very close.
Right, they were close. So Trump evidently decided to work with the National Enquirer to smear Ted Cruz, right?
Right.
Yep.
Am I making anything?
No.
You're not.
Okay.
You're not.
Okay, so National Enquirer would publish this story about Ted Cruz's dad, Raphael, being tight with Lee Harvey Oswald based on a story the National Enquirer put together. And this gentleman yesterday admitted that we just meshed pictures together. He just said we made the whole thing up.
Photoshop.
Right.
We made the whole thing. So then candidate Trump comes out and says this right here.
Cut six.
His father was with Lee Harvey Oswald prior to Oswald's being, shot. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. What is this right prior to his being shot? And nobody even brings it up. I mean, they don't even talk about that. That was reported, and nobody talks about it. But I think it's horrible.
Right. There was a picture out there that reportedly shows Raphael Cruz standing with Lee Harvey Oswald.
I mean, what was he doing with Lee Harvey Oswald
right.
shortly before the death, before the shooting? It's
crazy.
Horrible.
Kill me,
so,
taking
so
it.
So Trump knew he was – Trump right there knew the story was false.
Right.
Now, let me just say a couple of things. First of all, Ted Cruz, I don't know if we have his audio, but do we have? Okay, we don't. All right, so I don't want to say it and then we play it. But he said it's a long time ago. It doesn't matter to me now. Let me also say, and this is not in defense of what Donald Trump did, folks, okay, because that is sleazy. But as Fred Jackson mentioned in our story meeting, leftist candidates get that kind of treatment all the time for free.
Free.
From MSNBC and all of those kinds mm-hmm. of news outlets. But
Russia collusion.
Listen, this is newsworthy because this came out at
yeah.
the trial.
Also, Ted Cruz, by the way, Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. Now, at the time, Ted Cruz wasn't so generous.
No.
He said Donald Trump is a, quote, pathological liar, end quote. You remember that?
Yes.
So this is what he was in reaction to, the way that Trump was talking about his dad
yes.
being a part of this.
When it was fresh, when it just happened.
Yeah, and so called him a path. But Ted Cruz yesterday decided to, quote, take one for the team.
Right. Yes.
Okay? Take one for the team because he said this doesn't matter anymore. It's ancient history.
Right.
That's what he – so he's not going to get into about it. But it is part of the – it's a big part of the testimony that was given yesterday. That's why Ted Cruz was so mad
right.
at the time. Because
his dad.
Right, Trump.
His dad, Raphael, who's a pastor, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, Trump was talking about his dad like this. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. Well, there's more than that. He at the time, he lied about his dad.
Who did?
Trump did.
He
just hurt him.
Yes.
He was
yeah.
trying. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they were so. Anyway, what was so cavalier yesterday to me was the way this National Enquirer guy was talking about how they did all this. Huh?
Yeah.
And put all this together.
Interesting.
So, ironically, this was, to borrow from President Trump, fake news.
Yeah.
Now, strangely, this revelation does not change the importance of the election. So we will say that as a.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't yeah. change the seriousness of the election.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it affects President Trump's trial. Because I personally don't think he's going to get a fair trial, but this was kind of shocking to me. I'm not naive about what goes on in politics. I know a lot of dirty stuff
right.
goes on. We all remember the Democrats making the video of a Republican pushing an old lady in a wheelchair off a cliff. This
right.
kind of stuff happens all the time. But this came out of the trial, and I found it. Listen, if you're a cynical person about our political system, this doesn't help.
I suppose, to be fair, we should say that they weren't purporting that pushing Granny off the cliff was an actual video of someone actually pushing a grandmother off the cliff. It was a
point well taken.
All right, next story.
All right. You talked a little bit about the Jew hatred that's going on. We have a member of Congress. Her name is Ilhan Omar. She's a representative out of Minnesota. She was on the Minnesota campus, University of Minnesota campus, talking and supporting and frankly speaking about untruths, getting into a little bit of an untruth herself. Let's listen to Ilhan Omar, cut three.
I have the proud honor of representing this incredible university in Congress. And I have to tell you, I am incredibly moved by your courage and bravery as a student body in putting your bodies on the line to stand in solidarity to end the genocide that is taking place in Gaza at this moment.
I have to tell you, it's been incredibly painful for the last 5 days to see the discovery, while there is a discovery of a mass grave of more than 200 Palestinians in Khan Yunis, that our media, our elected politicians, our president, every single leader is spending their time and energy in talking about the protests as if you all are not here to give voice to the genocide that is taking place in Gaza.
Yeah.
What is she talking about? Gaza?
Yeah. Gaza. Yeah,
that's the way
she says Gaza, okay. Because, you know, she's.
Right. Authentic.
She's authentic. And so what the lie is, she's talking about this mass grave that they say they found. Well, we have evidence from the Israeli Defense Forces that that's a baseless claim, that they looked at where she said that this mass grave, or where they claimed that this mass grave was, and they have found, using old photos, the grave there being old graves, and the Palestinian people were being taken out of there. It was the Palestinian, it was Hamas that was putting these people in the graves in the first place. So they published a photo of this grave being dug in February 3rd, back in February.
Not a recent thing.
Whose
mind is this going to change? Who are they hoping to impact? I think they're hoping to bring more world condemnation on Israel, right?
Yeah,
for these kinds of stories, right?
And adding fuel to the fire of the protests that are going. Yeah.
You know, this is, we're a Christian radio network. The spiritual part of this playing out in front of our eyes is pretty
surreal.
Yeah, surreal and revealing, and I'm not sure where this is going to go.
I don't think anybody does.
The reason, and I'm not talking necessarily about World War III, that might result from a intensifying conflict in Israel and then spreading with Iran, and we all know what's going on there. I'm talking too about the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Jews around the world now have to be worried. Mm. They are going to become targets of people who are motivated by the war. A lot of anti-Semites, they don't need motivation.
Right.
They just are, because they have certain thoughts about Jews that are built on stereotypes or what, I don't know. They hate Jews because they view Jews as occupying land.
Right.
Or they just hate Jews because they're Jews.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but you have to be worried, because I heard a report on Jenna's, I heard an interview this morning on Jenna Ellis's show about the decline in support among Americans for Israel. The support for Americans for Israel has been rock solid since 48.
To your point, yesterday, this week, an election in primary in Pennsylvania pitted a Hamas-loving squad member against a challenger who was more reasonable, both Democrats, but more reasonable on Israel, and the Hamas squad member won. They're thinking
that
is kind of
the story
emblematic.
For tomorrow. Can we save it for tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay,
sure.
The one you had, I know you wanted to get to something.
Oh,
we're out of time.
Yeah, it was something just fun.
But
we can do better.
You know, I'm just saying, it's the hatred for the Jews has a spiritual dynamic.
Right.
To it.
Absolutely.
Yep. And
all right.
Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we need to. All right. So pray for that whole situation there in Israel. Absolutely. My thanks to Wesley, Ed, Fred, Steve, let's see here, Josh Barton.
That's right.
And Brent Creeley, our producer. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Take care.